Good morning. My name is Jim Berdow, and I welcome everyone today in the audience as well as on the internet, of course, to Grace Bible Church, Montgomery, Alabama. My name is Jim Berdow, and we want to study God's Word this morning for the next 45 minutes, and hopefully we can affirm our belief in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. If you would, turn to Proverbs 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 7. Obviously, this was King Solomon that was speaking at the time. Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Pretty self-explanatory, but let's move over to Proverbs 2 for a minute before we address this website up here. If you go to Proverbs 2, verse 1, and I'm going to read through 12, and then we're going to discuss this website, which Carlton so quickly noticed that looks rather unique to him. And like I told him, that's the advantage of showing up. You can find out this good information. Anyhow, Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest her for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand and fear, understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, and from the man that speaketh forward things. I want to note, well, let me go back to my website here. Miss Jean, you got a question?
What were you just reading?
Proverbs 2, 1 through 12.
Thank you.
Okay, good deal. How many of you use the internet? Everybody uses the internet for the most part. When you look at what's written on this board up here, what does that indicate to you? Christy, what does that indicate to you?
A website.
A website. How many of you have been to a website? Everybody's been to a website.
Amen.
Alan, why do you go to a website?
Gather information.
What's the reason that you want information?
To
Knowledge. And therefore, perhaps understanding? Okay. Does anybody else go to a website for any other reason?
Entertainment.
The Bible can be entertaining. I would agree with you. I'm glad you said that. You're right, but that's true. I was paraphrasing from a biblical perspective, of course, but that's good, Gene. Well, I would say that when it comes to King Solomon and knowledge, and that which we've read in Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 2, where especially in Proverbs 1, we were talking about fools despise wisdom. And in Proverbs 2, of course, we indicate that, Solomon indicates wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Does anybody have a problem with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? Is there any negative connotations to that? Because in understanding, it's just like the proverbial glass. It can be half full, or it can be half empty. The question is, if you study long enough and hard enough, any subject, you understand both sides. Just for a minute, let's go over to 2 Timothy 3:16. Second Timothy 3:16. And we've just talked about words. And that the words give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The question is, what's the power of the words? From a biblical perspective, of course. Well, 2 Timothy 3:16, I would say that according to 2 Timothy, written by Paul, our apostle, by the way, Larry, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Therefore, if it's given by the inspiration of God, I might remind you that you have to be a believer to understand and to qualify the truthfulness of what's been said. Because if you're not a believer, chances are you're like the fool that despises wisdom anyhow. Therefore, let's go on. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we'll go on and read that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, Paul indicates all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. Okay. Well, let's go back to this website. It's a kind of a unique way of explaining this, or hopefully to take us from point A to point B and then maybe C and D at some later time. I would maintain that in terms of this lesson, that this website is a source of information very similar to the Internet, except this is not necessarily electronic, although I have been told you can get to the Bible via the Internet. And hopefully none of it has been changed from the King James Version, of course. I would maintain that in terms of this lesson, the first W means words. Words are important. How do we know words are important? Well, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and look at verse 3, it reads, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, Neither did thy fathers know that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So according to this Bible, what God has to say is extremely important. And therefore, these words are important. The black print in your Bible are really important. Well, if words are important, then there must be something God intended for you to get out of it. And I'd maintain that the second W up here is wisdom. You get wisdom from these words. Now, I also maintain that these words, as taught from the pulpit here or any other place, is not the only place you're going to get the words. And I would also maintain, just as your kids that go to school go home and do homework, I would also tell you that they learn a lot at home. Therefore, you and those on the internet would certainly realize that you've got to put in some study to get this wisdom. Now, if you've got wisdom, biblical wisdom we're talking about, not carnal wisdom. That seems to come natural, by the way. Not always good. Cup's not always half full. It's many times half empty. But I'd maintain that this wisdom would also help you to prevent wandering. I said help you. Didn't say it would prevent you. See, that's the problem. That's another lesson. Also, this information may help control some of your wants. Not all of them, but this information is important. God said so. Also, in the words in this Bible, in this book, inspired by God, if you put your head in it long enough and hard enough, it also may help. Notice I always say help. There's no definiteness here except that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Was risen, was buried, and risen on the third day and paid our sin debt. That's a guarantee. But if you put your head into the Word, there's a strong possibility it would help you from becoming a ward of Satan. What is a ward? Well, if you look in the definition of a ward, you also find out that's custody of Satan. Well, I'm adding to Satan. Custody is the issue. Satan is our problem in this world that we live in. So the word's important. All these W's or information that we get from the Word. You go down here and it's consolation to the weary. Now, let's look at Acts 1, chapter 1. For just a moment. In Acts 1, verse 16, we see that, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled. Scripture. Oh, that means words. And these words help us in dealing with life. So how important is the word? It's real important. Let's go back to Proverbs. Should have told you to hold on, but let's run to Proverbs real quick. In fact, for those that are on the internet, may I remind you that we use the Bible continually because the power is in the Word. Under Proverbs 3, let me get over there. Proverbs 3, verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to their bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of thine increase. Finding favor and good understanding from the Word of God. The understanding from the Word of God gives you an opportunity to withstand some of the heat that we're all subjected to, the temptations. It helps us. But it's our rock. The key is the Word is your rock. It's not what the preacher says. It's the Word of God that says, that's the rock. Get over the preacher business. Your friends need to get over that. Well, my preacher says, sorry, preacher's not going to be holding your hand when you stand before the Lord God.
Amen.
So you better have a rock in your hand or a rock in your head. And that better be this Word of God. Okay. Let's move over to Isaiah. I have the hardest time finding Isaiah. My Bible don't cooperate. Huh? Four books past Proverbs. Let me get my calculator. I'm not the brightest thing in the world. How many books did you say? Okay. I do. I have the hardest time finding Isaiah. It hides from me. I promise you. I know it's over there by Jeremiah. Huh? No, Jeremiah pops right out of this book. Because Isaiah is always hidden in this book. Your book may be different now, Larry. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Like I told you, don't listen to the man teaching or the preacher. He can't help you. He's just going to give you some information, and then you better go check it out for yourself. I've yet to find anybody that doesn't have a Bible in their house somewhere. It's amazing. That's the most important paperweight I've ever seen in my life. Amazing. By the way, I know where there's an 1898 Bible, family Bible. It's sitting in a shop around here. It's about that thick, about that big, and it looks like it came from the tabernacle. It is so cool, unbelievable. Anyhow, Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This, in verse 28, it says there's no searching of God's understanding. So what that tells me is we don't have to question God. He's got it right. Okay? What we have to question is our intention, our effort to study the Word of God. That's the important part. And I have to admit, going back in some of the different churches I've been to, and one of the last big churches I went to, when I started coming to Grace Bible Church, in fact, on Amos Street. On Amos Street, it's Clayton. I get all these, all mixed up every once in a while. But I know where it's at, though. I'm like the eagle. I got a good eye for it, but I can't read the sign. Anyhow, big old church I went to here in Montgomery. Great people. Socially, it was a fun church, being honest with you. And being a social animal, I kind of enjoyed it. The only thing that struck me really weird was after I started coming over to Grace and studying the Word of God on a continual basis and making lots and lots and lots and lots of notes in my Bible, I got a call one day from the associate pastor. Associate pastor said, "Jim." I said, "Hey." His name was Larry. And not as knowledgeable as our Larry, though, I must admit. Okay. But Larry said, "Jim, where you been?" I said, "Well, I've been going to this small church. They really focus on the Word of God." And I said, he said, "Well, that's good. I mean, we do believe in the Word of God. But let me ask you this, Jim. What kind of programs do they have?" I said, "They got the Word of God. I mean, we do eat occasionally, but we study the Word of God." "Yeah, but Jim, I mean, what kind of programs do you have for the children, and what kind of programs you have for the adults?" And, he kept on with his program business. It was like a broken record. I said, "Larry, maybe I'm not making myself clear. We're into the Word of God and not programs." Not to indicate the programs aren't fun. I enjoy programs as well as anybody else. Even William back there enjoys programs. Got the biggest smile in the congregation today because he knows what I'm talking about. But, I said, "Larry, programs don't save." Now, in some churches, and I won't tell you, I'm going to confess, I'm a little offbeat now, but I think the people on the internet need to understand the differences because, see, virtually everybody in here probably knows what I'm saying anyhow. And if you don't, I'm going to finish up and we're going to rehash it again. Because it's so important. That's the key. It's important. Duplication teaches people. Okay? I'm not trying to be Dr. Philosophy because it's not philosophical. Sorry. It's in printed word. I don't have to expound upon that which is clear in King's English already. So, but it's these programs. So anyhow, I go back to that because it's always bugged me ever since. And I said, programs don't save. The Word of God does. That's the focus of the church I go to. Now that we've got a bigger place, we do a few things from time to time, but we're still focused on this. See, other churches out there are focused on marketing the church. When you market the church, then there's always a question that comes up is, Why are we marketing the church? Is it a corporate entity destined for profit? I hope not. Because what should be is that the Word of God should be profitable to you.
They market so they have more programs.
They market so they have more programs.
Right.
You know what drives programs? Oh, money. Well, I'm happy to say our programs are pretty cheap. Inexpensive. You know from an architectural standpoint, and Larry being an architect, that the wordage that comes out of Larry has underpinnings that's beyond the rest of us. But that's okay, because Larry is special unto himself. Just like Ms. Jean is special unto herself, according to God. That's the neat thing. Anyhow, sorry I took you on that rabbit trail, but every once in a while I got to bring that up because that really troubles me. And that's been about 15 years, 16 years ago. The Word of God is important because it helps you to withstand the ills of the world. Helps. I use that word helps now because unfortunately there was only one perfect person to walk this earth. It helps you to withstand the worldly down here too. The worldly people, the worldly world that we live in, which is carnal, of course. But the Word of God also helps you in dealing with what you shouldn't be worried about. If you and God have the right relationship, you won't be worried. See, grace is free. And once you accept it, you don't have to worry anymore. Because I can assure you, there is a dead end for every one of us. We all face it. I have a friend in the hospital right now. Talked to him 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, and 3 days later, he had a motorcycle, had a collision. A motorcycle and a deer had a collision, excuse me. And he's hanging on to his life right now. And by the way, he wasn't 60, 70, 80 years old either. He's in his late 40s. So even you and I are susceptible to running into a deer any time, particularly during this time of the year. And the deer don't care what your position with God. But you, through the Word of God and the understanding therein, need to know where you're at just in case that deer jumps out in front of you. Let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 30. How important are the words? That's key. How valued are they? Proverbs 30. Verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Every word is pure. Sterling, what does pure mean to you?
Unstained.
Unstained?
Perfect.
Perfect. Good word. Pardon me?
Undefiled.
Undefiled. Great one. Anybody else contribute to the word pure?
Clean.
Clean. Hard to beat the word perfect, though, isn't it? Wow. Every word is pure, and we've paraphrased the word to make it perfect. And what else can you add to it? Hello? But then it says, add thou not unto his words. Now that brings me back to this church in Montgomery that I used to go to. They wanted to add programs to their words. God doesn't indicate in this book anywhere that you have to have programs or that you need to market the church.
Also applies to these new Bibles.
Right. These Bibles, the new IV and some of the other Bibles that are out there. To be honest, I kind of wiped them out of my mind because if it's not King James, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Because I know that what man touches this day is certainly not pure. Well, I knew there was a verse I really wanted to start off with, but they're all so good. Let's turn over to, let's see. See if I can find it real quick. Oh, yeah. John 1:1. Say, Dan, I got that. That's the fourth book in the New Testament. Appreciate it.
One.
Okay. Not 1:4, 1:1.
1:1. We got it.
Back to the Word. By the way, this is only the first quarter of my presentation today. So I don't know if the donut's going to get eaten or anything anywhere brought today. I'm not sure. God didn't see a donut bringer. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's interesting. In the beginning, like what part of beginning do you not understand? Beginning was way back, long time ago, before any of us knew how to even read. So that tells you that God and Word are synonymous, therefore it is the Word that you need to know to understand God. Likewise to those on the Internet. Let not anybody ever tell you that the Word of God is not important or that it is fallible, because it's not. The Scripture proves that it's not. It clearly says. That all Scriptures, of course, were given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, we proved that the Word of God is so important . Our first W, we're talking about the Word of God, the wisdom therein. Helps, underline that word, helps prevent you from wandering in the wrong direction, because you, when you know God through His Word, you want to do the right thing. It helps in your wants. We don't want you to be a ward of Satan or a custody of Satan. It helps the weary. It helps you to withstand the ills of the world that we live in. Has anybody found the world real sweet, kind, and gentle lately? We know that we live in a worldly place, very carnal, All you got to do is watch TV. And I hate to even watch TV, really. There's nothing there to watch. So we come down to the .com. Christy, when you get the .com, what is that telling you on a website?
Not a clue. You just have to have it to get there.
Sterling, you look kind of technologically advanced. What does .com mean?
I don't know either. I did, but I forgot it.
I would state that the .com means communication.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because it's...
This is an internet form of communication.
Yeah. Or common, maybe.
.com. I think it's communication. For the purposes of this lesson, we're going to make it communication. Does that work for you?
Yes, sir.
All right, good deal. The Word of God helps you in so many areas we've discussed, and I'm sure there's probably another 40, 50, maybe 100 other opportunities that the Word of God gives you, a believer, in the Word of God. But there is a problem here in our world. There is a problem in every church. There is a problem sometimes even in our church. And that is this. We as believers, if you're really in the Word, you understand the Word, you've taken the Word in, that we have failed on the .com. You're not communicating the Word of God to other people. Now, I am not communicating the Word of God on a continual basis either. Okay, I'm guilty. I want you to know that. But it's important that we do this. We have to communicate the Word of God to other people. Be the ambassadors for Christ, Larry said. This is where we fail the Word. More than any other time. Now, I know that many of us work in places where you're in tight quarters with somebody and you have to be very careful. And I would say that you need to be skilled at saying, not the frontal attack, by the way. This is one of my pet peeves. 15 years I've been coming to church. Not only here, but other places. See, here, we're armed with the Word of God. Up the street, down the street, across the city, they're armed with their church. I'm not here for this church. My point, as I transit through the city, and I do have a slight advantage. I do move around probably much more than you guys. I'm like an ant. I can't figure out where I need to go. I think there's sugar everywhere. But I refrain most of the time from saying, "Oh, Joe, where are you going to church, bro?" "Well, I hadn't been in a while." "Oh, we kind of need to go, Jim." "Well, I think that's a good idea. Let me invite you to come to a church where I attend, but please understand, it's not my church." You see, you have to set yourself apart from every other church that's out there who's knocking on the door and say, "Miss Jones, we want you to come to blah, 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 Baptist, Episcopal, Methodist, Catholic, Jewish, whatever." You've got to set yourself apart. You are set apart. And how you approach it has to be different because you are different. You're armed with the Word of God here, folks. It's amazing. It's wonderful. So don't invite anybody to come to your church. Take the "you" out of there. You don't have a church. What I do have, I'll call him Gary. Gary, what I do have, brother, guarantee you one thing, we have a roof over our head so you won't get wet. But I do this so often, it's fun what I'm about to do. What I tell Gary, the proverbial guy, I want to come to church. I say, Gary, if you come to the church I attend, I'll teach you things you haven't seen before. Well, Jim, are you a preacher? Oh, heaven forbid, I'm not a preacher. But I am interested in what God has to say. Are you not interested? Or have you been going to some other church previously that you said you weren't going to now? Or did you go to that church because they had programs? Well, yeah, they did, Jim. Then the programs were not sufficient for you to stick. Huh. I never thought about that, Jim. See, programs are temporary, real temporary. The Word of God, would you agree, Carlton, is permanent.
Amen.
You get the Word of God up here, even if you're like me, I can't remember all the different verse numbers. I wish I could. Oh, if I could. And I probably could. I just have to stop for the next 10 years and get my nose in the book more than I am now. And if I did, I'd be dangerous. Because knowledge is power. But then knowledge, it puffs you up. That's the key. That's why Larry and me try not to come up here. Because it's not me. It is not me. It's just not me. I like talking to the people out there on the street. I really do. I really, really do. Because I believe I understand the difference between Grace Bible Church and XYZ, Episcopal, Methodist, Baptist, Jewish, Church of Christ, etc., etc., etc. We're not in the programs, folks. You can't take the program with you. I haven't seen anybody take a program lately to the heavenly gates. Fact is, if you don't make it to the heavenly gates, you take your program somewhere else and it's going to burn up. You need to think about that. It's important. It's the Word of God. Plainly and simply, the Word of God. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I want to thank everyone in the audience that came to listen today. Like Barry used to say, Barry Hampton, and I miss him dearly. It's very humbling to stand before you and talk about the Word of God. But I would like to tell you that if your Bible is not marked up like this, you're missing a great opportunity to witness. Because let me tell you something. If Barry Hampton, when I first met him about 15 years ago, if he'd have pulled out a little piece of pad and said, "Yeah, look here, I got this and I got that, and this church and the Word of God, this and so on and so forth," I'd have said, "I wonder if you take good notes." But if your Bible is marked up in the right way, and you can show it to them, which I have done it many times on the street out there or in different businesses that I go, when they see it's in this book, they realize you're real. Or they begin to realize you're real. Now, I don't mean they're going to believe you. But if they believe that you're real with your information and it's in this book, then you've got a shot, an opportunity to bring someone to an understanding of God. In fact, if you just happen to open it to 1 Corinthians 14:33, if you got this book and your notes are in this book, it's fun. It's great because you know what? God's got an answer for all this. It says right here, could it have been better? I didn't plan this. I want you to know that. I didn't plan it. It says right here, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. See, I got notes. No confusion. That means if I'm flipping through here and then the Holy Spirit wants me to know something, wants me to tell somebody, whoo, wow, no confusion. Your Bible needs to go with you every day. You need to have your notes in this Bible and be able to pull it out and witness with the book in your hand. I thank everybody once again for tuning in.